On 88.1, I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Maryland Morning. The 2016 session of the Maryland Assembly kicks off today at noon, with Governor Larry Hogan enjoying strong approval ratings. He carries a mandate into this year's session that Democratic legislators may find hard to overcome when they lock horns on issues like tax cuts, education funding, and criminal justice reform. So let's take a few minutes to touch on some of the issues that lawmakers will consider between now and April. Joining me on the phone from Annapolis is Erin Cox. She is the State House Bureau Chief for the Baltimore Sun. Morning, Erin.
Good morning.
So the tone of this year's session, even in these preliminary days and now hours before it begins, seems to be remarkably different. And you and Mike Dresser wrote about this in Sunday's paper and as well as this morning's. The tone seems to be different than last year.
Right. There's kind of a talking out of both sides of their mouth this year, when last year they just talked about bipartisanship. This year they talk about bipartisanship and then with their next breath criticize the other party for what they value and what they want to do.
There's certainly going to be plenty to talk about. You speculate that there's as many as 1,200 separate bills that may be considered. How does anybody, any legislature, deal with that much legislation?
Well, you know, actually, those 1,200 bills are the ones that are currently being drafted. There's usually around 3,400. This is 1,200 before the bells even ring, before the gavel even drops, before we start. So that 1,200 bills is a pace that's much faster than we've seen in a long time. So it'll be busy. Some of them may not be big initiatives. Like in past years, we've, you know, legalized same-sex marriage down here, passed sweeping gun control sort of initiatives that take a lot of muscle to get through. Whether or not the volume of bills are going to be of that caliber doesn't really seem to be the case. So we'll see. We got a lot of new lawmakers. There was a third of the House was new, a quarter of the Senate was new last year. This year they've got a year under their belt and they're ready to push their own initiatives, and we'll see how that goes.
There's speculation, and it's been fueled by the leadership of the House and Senate, that the legislature is poised to overturn some, if not all, of the vetoes that Governor Hogan signed last year, having to do with issues like felons being able to vote sooner than they are currently able to vote upon release from prison, or a piece of legislation about possession of marijuana paraphernalia, that kind of thing. What do you think the chances of these overrides going through are?
Well, the chances of at least one going through, I would say, are all but certain. That not most of these measures were passed by veto-proof margins or very close to last year when the legislature approved them. Some of them are, you know, still a little bit iffy. Voting for felons are among them. It's not clear that there's enough votes to push that one through. That's something that, as your newscaster mentioned earlier, the Baltimore City Council endorsed earlier this week. It would allow felons to retain their voting rights before they finish probation or parole. That one is a little bit iffy, as is the marijuana one. The legislature decriminalized pot about 2 years ago, but they left all the paraphernalia to smoke it a crime to possess. So they tried to reverse that, and they went a little bit further and made it legal to smoke in public, and the law enforcement community really disliked that. So they've been pushing hard to keep the veto intact.
You were at the press conference that the governor held yesterday when he outlined his tax proposals. One of them is to grant a 10-year tax break to new companies who locate manufacturing in Baltimore and some other districts in the state, Western Maryland and the Lower Eastern Shore. You write this morning in a blog post that this idea actually comes from a very similar proposal by Richard Maddalena, who's the vice chair of the Budget and Tax Committee, Montgomery County Democrat. That would indicate that perhaps there's going to be some agreement on the nature of this kind of proposal. What chances do you give that kind of thing?
Well, you know, the devil's in the details, of course. I mean, the broad strokes of this plan is something that Hogan modeled off New York's Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo, and it was actually Senator Roger Manot, who is also a very liberal senator from Montgomery County, who happened to pushed that one. And, it, you know, it didn't get through the legislature when a Democrat pushed it. That doesn't necessarily mean it would get through the legislature when a Republican pushed it. So I think there's people that they want to wait and see. I think it gives it much better chances than if Hogan had just proposed it on his own. But we also don't know how he plans to pay for it and what he plans to give the Democrats in exchange for passing it.
Mr. Madalena was also talking about an earned income tax credit. That's something that perhaps there might be some agreement on as well. What do you think the chances of something like that happening in this session are?
Extremely high. The earned income tax credit is something that's, almost like a pet policy to the Democrats. They really like it. It gives cash to poor families. Widely seen as an alternative to families being on welfare. And what happens is when you give, poor families an extra couple hundred dollars, they tend to spend it. They get their car fixed. They buy clothes for their kids. They buy groceries. And so they find it to be a very effective way to stimulate the economy and to get tax dollars right back into the economy, which is something that Governor Hogan says that he really wants to do. And he said yesterday, and he's said several times before, he put the number at 100. I'm not sure it's quite that high. But he said that he doesn't really care which side of the aisle the ideas come from. He just wants to do things that make sense. And the earned income tax credit is something that Democrats really love. It seems like the debate down here isn't whether or not they implement an increase to it. It's whether or not they implement an increase and they expand it and they make the increase even bigger than what the governor proposed.
There are lots of arguments about the funding formula for education. We are in a situation here in the state where there is a surplus. The Democrats certainly want to spend it in a much different way than Mr. Hogan does. Where do things stand, particularly in terms of the two separate approaches to education funding?
Well, the Democrats want to make sure that education is fully funded every single year, regardless of whether there's a surplus or a deficit. They want to make sure that every dollar that they say should go to education does go to education. And if there's cuts that have to be made, they want to be the ones that are in control of it. Governor Larry Hogan has said, you know what, I don't think that's a good plan. Well, I'll fully fund it this year, but if we ever run into economic trouble again, I don't think it should be up to the legislature to decide whether or not education gets funded. It should be up to the governor. And so you've got this power clash that's a lot more, it's more about power than education funding. It just happens to be education funding that they're talking about.
In health care, the right to die legislation is being reintroduced. This is allowing terminally ill patients to have a physician assist them in their suicide. What do you give the chances of that one?
Better than last year, but not 100%. Controversial issues like that generally take 2-3 years to get through the legislature. Last year, they pulled it before it even came to a committee vote because they knew that it was unlikely to pass. Then they formed a work group over the summer, and they tried to educate a lot more people about the issue, and the advocates plan to come back again and try again. Whether or not they actually get there is unclear this year. Public support for this issue has been trending towards the advocates for many years, particularly after Brittany Maynard. She was the 29-year-old woman who had brain cancer and moved to Oregon in order to take her own life and was very public about that.
All right, and Aaron, we're going to have to call it a day. I appreciate your time. I know you've got a busy day ahead of you, so thanks so much for stopping by this morning. Appreciate it.
Of course.
Aaron Cox is the State House Bureau Chief of the Baltimore Sun. WYPR's Rachel Bay will be in Annapolis and keeping us up to date on all of the goings-on in this, the 436th session of the Maryland Assembly, which begins today at noon. You've been listening to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Have a great day.